So good morning, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. We will begin. As I was saying before, that I assume that there are some devotees who do not know that we're starting an hour earlier, beginning today, but we will begin anyways according to the time which we've scheduled. And I have no announcements, so we will begin right away with Srimad Bhagavatamrita. We are volume 2, chapter 4, text 181. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ashtama Varanasyadi Statri Mortimatiya Karya Kara Vikarasya Praptya Prakritir Uchiti. Translation. Appearing in person, she presides over the eighth covering of the universe. Because the transformations of material creation do not affect her, she is called Prakriti. Commentary. Matter is always in flux, changing from one state to another. But because Maya is the superintendent of this continuous transformation of matter, she herself is never subject to change. Thus she is called Prakriti, the primal form of material existence, the unchanging intrinsic basis of Vikriti, that which changes. In short, the cause of change is unchangeable. Therefore, when Gopakumara visited Maya in her abode within the eighth covering of the universe, she referred to herself as non-different from the spiritual energy of the Lord, of whom she is a separated expansion. Bhaktim ichasi va vishnos tatapyatasya chitakam bhaginim shakti rupamam kripaya bhaja bhaktidam. Or if you want devotion to Vishnu, still you should be kind and worship me, the giver of devotion, for I am his maidservant, his sister, and the embodiment of his energy. This is Brihad Bhagavatamrita verse, second volume, third chapter, 28th verse, which we just quoted. Om Agyanatimarandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unminitam Dhyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Kuruti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyachadeshatarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari. So, the last verse we did, Sanatana Goswami stated that that verse and the following three verses would be about the illusory energy, Maya. And they would speak about her identity and the effects created by her. The last verse, we also spoke from Brahma's Mahita. We're in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, gave great details about how the Prakriti or Maya Devi, Durga Devi, Devi Dham, so many references that he had given, which was compared to the prison house, which captures the forgetful living entities and provides them unlimited varieties of opportunities to become attached to her offerings and thereby be perpetually captivated by her energy. And the only hope, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained in the commentary, is to get the association of a Vaishnava. Because by such association, one can come to see things as they are. So, therefore we begin every class, Om Ajnanate Marandasya, Yananjana Salakaya, Chakshu Unminitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We offer our respectful obeisance to our spiritual master, who has opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, which previously they were closed shut. In fact, just today, during lunch, prasadam, Prabhupada was speaking about the owls. And he said, he was comparing everybody in the material world to be like owls. And he was explaining, why are they like owls? Because the owls, they will keep their eyes closed, and therefore they can't see. And as much as you try to help them to see, he said, if they continue to keep their eyes closed, they cannot see. He said, similarly, everyone in this material world, and he probably was speaking in a joking way, he says, we're dealing with owls. Because everybody wishes to keep their eyes closed, shut tight. And he went on to explain the reason behind it was because they are too attached to have their eyes opened. Just as the owl is too attached to keeping its eyes closed. And no matter what you say, my dear owl, and Prabhupada even started a conversation, a so-called, my dear owl, please open your eyes and see what you're missing. And he said, but they are too attached to keep, they want to keep their eyes closed. So same point Prabhupada was speaking about. But we offer our obeisance to the spiritual master, although our eyes were closed very tightly and we could not see. Somehow he forcibly opened them with the torchlight of knowledge. So here in text 181, describing more of Maya's characteristics, she presides over the eighth covering of the universe. We'll speak about that in a moment. And because the transformations of material creation do not affect her, she is called Prakriti. I became interested. I wanted to understand the Monia Williams definition of Prakriti, Sanskrit definition of Prakriti, to help us understand what Sanatana Goswami is here referring to. And I looked it up in the Sanskrit dictionary because both. I looked up both words, prakriti and vikriti, because both words are actually used in the commentary today. And prakriti is defined as making or placing before or at first, the original or natural form or condition of anything, original or primary substance. In other words, prakriti is the original form. And vikriti, which is the other word that's used here, is the alteration, modification, variation, or changed condition. So prakriti means the original, doesn't change. Everything else is vikriti, but prakriti doesn't change. And because prakriti is originally para prakriti, Krishna says, my nature, then it's unchangeable. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, he quotes that, Prabhupada quotes the verse, something I wanted to read also, the verse Adibhutam Kshuro Bhava, which means physical nature is known to be endlessly mutable. It's always changed. What is one thing that doesn't change is one thing that doesn't change. And one thing that doesn't change is that physical nature is always changing. That's the one thing that doesn't change. Same point is being brought out in today's verse. Prakriti doesn't change. But everything else in physical nature is always in a constant flux. And of course, as we know, being in a constant flux and wanting to be secure, which is the nature of the living being, he wants to be secured, he wants to be sheltered, he's always trying to find a secure place. But Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, you go to the highest planet, Brahma Loka, to the lowest planet, is always going to be change everywhere. So there's no hope for finding security, no hope for finding shelter in a place which is constantly changing. And Prabhupada, I wanted to read, it was a nice, very nice conversation. He talks exactly about this point. It's a conversation in Life Comes from Life. And he answers a question from Karanda Prabhu. And Karanda says, geologists study the strata of the Earth's crust to trace out the origin of the Earth. Okay. Sorry. That's pretty clear. So what is Prabhupada's response? But these strata are being created and destroyed at every moment. Now they are one way, and a half hour from now, they will be different. They are jagat, always changing. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Adibhutam Kshuro Bhava, physical nature is known to be endlessly mutable. Therefore, one cannot find out the source of all energy simply by observing the energy itself. Now the earth strata may be black. Later, they may be white. And then again black. So the geologists study the black color, then the white color, again the black, and so on. This is called this is called punak punas chavati chavanam, chewing the chute. Now it is cold. At midday it will be warm, and at night it will be cold again. In this way, the entire material cosmic manifestation is subject to different types of change. Even our bodies are changing. Everything is changing. Prabhupada speaks about that also. Birth, growth, the production of byproducts, dwindling, vanishing. He goes, talks about all these different changes of material nature. Stays for some time. I missed that one. Six of them, six transformations. Birth, growth, stays for some time, produces byproducts, dwindles, and then vanishes. So in this way, the entire material cosmic manifestation is subject to different types of change. Even our bodies are changing. Everything is changing. But what is the eternity behind this changing? That is the subject of real knowledge. The scientists do not find that eternity, and therefore they are disappointed. They think that the background of everything is void, zero. They think that eternity is zero. And when they are asked where the zero comes from, they say, it comes from nothing. So we must ask them, how have the varieties come about? The Vedic conclusion is that variety is eternal. Although the changing varieties the scientists study in the material world are temporary, these varieties are shadow varieties. Real variety exists eternally in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada very expertly takes on the challenge. They're studying the constant changes, the studying material nature, which is constantly changing, endlessly mutable. One time it is black, another time it is white. As we spoke about last time, the world of duality, black, white, heat, cold, honor, dishonor. It's not possible to be able to understand what is in the background, which is the real substance, by studying that which is always changing. Not possible. They study the substance. They can't come to a conclusion of what's in the background, because what is in the background is covered to them. They cannot see it. And therefore, Prabhupada said, they're simply busy studying the shadow. They must understand that, yes, everything is changing, but the substance behind all of that change is the unlimited variety of the spiritual world. That is the substance. And just as we gave the example the other day, the shadow is always connected to the object. And when the object moves, the shadow moves. The shadow cannot exist without the object. The object is the substance. The substance is the spiritual world. The shadow is the material world. And all the varieties and all the constant changes that take place in the material world only lead to frustration, repeated illusion, and anxiety and distress. As Prabhupada says, punas-java-tachava-nanam. They are simply repeatedly chewing that which has already been chewed. And as Prahlad Maharaj says, their inclinations towards Krishna can never be aroused either by their own efforts, by the efforts of others, or by a combination of both. Why? Because materna krishne parataksvato va, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons who are very much attached to sense gratification, they make progress. But what progress do they make? They make progress towards hellish conditions of life. That's their progress. And they repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. So Prabhupada just, that's what he was talking about today in class. As he does so often, He just exposes. I oftentimes make this point that Prabhupada really, he puts so much energy in enlightening his followers to help them understand, to break down their faith in materialistic science. He puts so much energy into it. Why? Because everybody placed so much faith. And we spoke about that the last time. We spoke about the example of, you know, the nuclear weapons ultimately meant for destroying the whole world. And Prabhupada was talking about, was it Prabhupada or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta? I can't remember who was saying it. One, somebody was saying that how they are simply so busy in their scientific pursuits, which will ultimately lead towards destruction. And I gave the example that Prabhupada gave of the grinder. That, and how Prabhupada saying they were, it was Prabhupada, how they are, by their scientific advancement, they're creating a situation which will be the source of perpetual suffering. And he said, the only way to become free from this influence is to save yourself. Just like the grinder. The grinder keeps on grinding the wheat, and any wheat that's caught anywhere in that grinder will be ground, but only in the center is that small, small area in the center where you'll find maybe one or two or a few pieces of whole wheat right in the center that didn't get caught up in the grind. Prabhupada said, take shelter, save yourself, become Krishna conscious before it's too late. So, endlessly mutable. And another point here, we spoke about Prakriti and Vikriti. When Gopakumara visited Maya in her abode, within the eighth covering of the universe, she referred to herself as non-different from the spiritual energy of the Lord, of whom she is a separated expansion. But then there is a verse quoted. I wanted to read that verse in a small commentary, and we'll speak a little bit about it. This verse was spoken to Gopakumara. We didn't read this verse at any time before. We covered it, but we didn't read this section because we started later in chapter 3. But as we explained before, Gopakumara, he, on his way to Mahakalapur, he bypassed all the different coverings of the universe. He gave up his gross physical body, and he was quickly bypassed all the previous places that he had visited. And then when he came beyond the lower planets of the material universe, the 14 planetary systems, he then came to the eight coverings of the universe. And each of these eight coverings of the universe were described to be eight times thicker than the previous covering. And the previous covering manifested from that covering. And not only that, but the unlimited millions of varieties of pleasure increased in each covering of the universe. So he went to the different coverings of Earth and the predominating deity of Earth. I believe it was Varahadev. And then the water was Matsya, fire was Surya, and there was different personalities, goddesses who he met along the way. The first goddess he met, she invited him, come, take a look around, see what we have to offer here. There's so many forms of pleasure. And Gopakumara, he did temporarily stop there. And although she invited him to stay, he didn't stay for very long. I think I one time gave an analogy of my own experience. I don't know if it's a very good analogy, but I thought it was good at the time, of how when I was 16 years old, I used to work in a carnival. And in the carnival, I was stationed in a stand that people would come and play these little games, you know, and to spend their money. And then the stands were always on both sides of the main road, which was on the way to the roller coaster. So everyone was interested to go to the roller coaster, but the stands were all there to try to get more money out of them before they spent money on the roller coaster. And my job was to call people, come, come, you look what you can win here. And even the boss used to go around and he used to check to make sure everybody was, I can't remember what they called them. I think barkers they called them. And he was checking to make sure everybody was barking, to make sure that they were calling everybody in. Come spend, come enjoy. You know, yes, the roller coaster's down there, but just see what we have here. Same thing. Everyone can gradually go through the coverings of the universe, and each of the goddesses of each covering, she says, come see what I have to offer. There's very wonderful things you can enjoy here. And if one is not fixed, no, I'm going, I've got my mind, I'm going someplace else. It's very easy to become distracted at the various types of opportunities for pleasure along the way. And that's what these different goddesses do for those who are on the journey. So finally, after Gopakumara goes through the different coverings, and the pleasures are described to be increasingly millions of times more in each covering, finally he comes to the abode of Prakriti, or Durga Devi. And she, at that time, says to him, Gopakumara tells the Mathura Brahmin, she offered me gifts such as Anima Siddhi and other great yogic powers. And like the goddess Earth and the other deities, she asked me to stay. She sweetly told me, if you want to achieve your goal of liberation, then please be kind to me, because I am the bestower of liberation. And then, next verse, she says, Bhaktim ichasi va vishnos tatapyetasya chetikam bhaginim shakti rupamam kripaya bhaja bhakti dham. Or if you want devotion to Vishnu, still, you should be kind and worship me, the giver of devotion. We spoke about this last time, how Maya, you know, when one actually becomes very determined that no, I simply want to please Krishna, then Maya actually manifests herself as the internal potency, and she helps the devotee to attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So she acts both ways. She acts as Maya, Mahamaya, to cover in her service to the Lord, as we spoke about last time. She's always submissive to the Lord's will. She does her service very expertly, very nicely, and it's a thankless task, but she's doing her service. But if the devotee says, no, I want Krishna, I want to surrender to Krishna, I want to please Krishna, then that's what she's saying here. If you want devotion to Vishnu, still you should be kind and worship me, the giver of devotion, for I am his maidservant, his sister, Subhadra, Yogamaya, who appeared before Krishna as his sister, and the embodiment of his energy, as we have spoken about many times, Purna Shakti, how she is the embodiment of all of Krishna's energies. And she's not other than the original spiritual potency, Yogamaya, or pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. So therefore, she says this. And in the commentary, Sanatana Goswami says, pure Vaishnavas do not care for liberation, but still they respect Prakriti for other reasons. She is Lord Vishnu's humble servant and sister, born as Subhadra from the womb of Yashoda, and she helps Lord Vishnu's devotees make progress in devotional service. Although Maya is not identical with Lord Vishnu's internal potence, is not identical with Lord Vishnu's internal energy, Antaranga Shakti, she is the expansion of that energy embodied in the external elements. Thus, she is non-different. Here we go again. Although she's different, she's non-different. Thus, she is non-different from the original energy, just as a person's shadow is non-different from the person. So, this is a little explanation of this verse. I wanted to read two other verses. This time we will finish the verses about the Apara Shakti or Maya Shakti. And then there's a very nice verse where Narada Muni says, okay, Maya Shakti, she provides all of these different varieties of enjoyment, pleasures, and boons and benedictions, which we'll soon read about. But you can get that all simply by approaching Krishna and more. So that will come out in the future verses. Text 182. Yas yas tvati kramenaiva muktir bhakti shasidyati utpaditam yaya vishvam aindrajalika vanmisha. Only by transcending her does one attain liberation and devotional service. She has produced the material universe, a creation no more real than a magician's trick. Commentary. As a magician conjures up one illusion after another, Maya has countless ways to create false appearances. Text 183. Shakya sampaditam yattu stiram satyam chadrishyate kardama prabritinam tap tapo yogarijam yata. But whatever that energy creates appears substantial and real, just like the things that ascetics like kardama create from their austerities, mystic yoga, and other attainments. So here, Narada is saying, whatever that energy creates, that Maya Shakti, it appears to be very substantial, appears very real. We talked about this also in last class. And just like, even like the things that ascetics like kardama creates, Kardama Muni, by his mystic powers, and it's here in the commentary, he created an aerial mansion by his mystic powers, filled with palaces and with opulent rooms and all kinds of pleasurable experiences that he wanted to give Devahuti after she had performed so many austerities. So let's read the commentary first. The Lord's energies, both spiritual and material, are his personal creative potencies. Whatever is produced by the Lord's own Shakti is real and substantial in the sense that such a creation lasts for some time. Even finite souls like Kardama and Sulbari were able to create wonders that were substantial and real, like Kardama's flying palace, which could travel anywhere he desired. Certain inert objects in the material world, such as potent gems and mantras, also have such creative power. Magicians are expert in producing illusions. They know how to bewilder people. Yet their magical creations are unreal because those creations cannot be used for any practical purpose, cannot act in any real way, and after a moment cease to exist. In contrast to such useless illusions, adept ascetics and yogis are able to create things that anyone can see are substantial and real. The creators of such things enjoy their creations as they like, and the objects created may last for thousands of years. Few important points here need to be discussed. And Kardama Muni, as we know, he worshipped the Lord, performed meditation for 10,000 years, pleased the Lord. He was executing an instruction given to him by his father, Lord Brahma. Unlike the four Kumaras, who chose to remain celibates, Kardama Muni was asked to create progeny, and along with many of his others, brothers, who are also Prajapatis. And in the execution of that order, he propitiated the Lord with a desire to be able to have a wife of like disposition with whom he could fulfill the instructions which are given to him by Lord Brahma. As we know, he satisfied the Lord, and the Lord actually arranged that the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, Devahuti, would come, and Swayambhuva Manu would give him his daughter. She was a princess, she was beautiful, and she would give him his daughter as a suitable companion to fulfill his duties. Devahuti, she performed, upon accepting her husband, who was an ascetic, a yogi, mystic yogi, she performed in service to him severe austerities. Her body became emaciated. Her physical features were very much adversely affected. In so many ways, it appeared externally that for her service to her husband, that she was externally appeared to be negatively influenced by the austerity she performed. But when the time came for the fulfillment of the order, then Kardama Muni also desired to satisfy his wife because of her austerities, and because she was very eager to produce children from him, he manifested this and return by his mystic potencies. He manifested this beautiful aerial mansion by which he was able to travel everywhere throughout the universe. And she was able to, of course, before she entered into the aerial mansion, by his mystic potency, he also asked her to enter into a lake. And when she entered into the lake, then thousands of maidservants appeared by his mystic potencies. And all those maidservants came forward and said, "Please, how can we assist you?" And they prepared her. They made her beautiful once again. And her luster came back. Her beauty came back. She was dressed opulently. She returned before Kadava Muni. And then he created this aerial mansion and said, "Please step into this mansion." And he created this mansion, which really, if you, and this is what Sanatana Goswami is speaking about in the purport, it's not something small or insignificant. It's not something that was some temporary illusory trick that only momentarily appeared, like a magician's magic that produces something, but it's very temporary and doesn't produce anything of any practical value to anyone. But because Kadava Muni was such a great mystic yogi, and he was a devotee. He was a devotee. And Prabhupada explains this in a couple of places, not just in reference to Kadava Muni, but also in reference to Shalbhara Rishi. And we'll read about that also. That sometimes it can be seen that a devotee, one of the benefits of devotional service is he has all mystic powers. Now, generally, a devotee is not interested in using those mystic powers. But still, it's one of the benefits of pure devotional service. And Rupa Goswami describes this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he describes what are the characteristics of pure devotional service. First is kleshagni, relief from material distress. And the second is shubhada. Shubhada means all auspicious. And there are four characteristics of something to be all auspicious. One is it can benefit everyone. Two, it can attract everyone. Three, it can produce all good qualities. And four, it bestows all kinds of happiness. All kinds of happiness. And then Rupa Goswami says the three types of happiness. One type of happiness is the happiness derived from sense gratification. Another is a happiness derived from liberation. And the third is a happiness derived from devotional service. And I want to read a verse. This verse is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And in this verse, Rupa Goswami says, Yata Tantre Siddhaya, this is 1131, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Siddhaya Paramascharya Bhuktir Muktischa Sasvati Nityam Cha Paramanando Bhaved Govinda Bhaktita. Translation. Thus it is said in a tantra, astounding mystic powers, material enjoyment, eternal happiness in the realization of Brahman, and eternal bliss from service to the Lord, all appear from bhakti to Govinda. That's Rupa Goswami. He says mystic, astounding mystic powers. And Prabhupada speaks about it in the Nectar Devotion. He describes the different types of mystic powers that one can obtain in devotional service. One of them is prakamya, where he can produce very wonderful objects. He has the power to do that by devotional service. Now, of course, there's a difference that a devotee, as we said, he's generally not interested in enjoying such mystic opulences, and therefore, by his own choice, he doesn't do it. But still, he has the power to do it. But the difference between them is that the opulences that are created by such mystic perfections although they may appear and last for a very long time, the pleasure derived from them is temporary. Whereas the pleasure derived from devotional service is always eternal. So that is a big, very important difference to understand. It may be thousands of years. And in fact, Devahuti, it's in the Bhagavatam, it is stated, Devahuti, she said to Kardava Muni, she said, "Oh master," this is third canto, 23rd chapter, 11th verse. She says, "Oh master, do what is necessary according to the scriptures for our union, by which my body, agitated by the desire for pleasure, will be capable of enjoyment, since I am pained by desire, stimulated by your presence. Please consider also a house suitable for that pleasure." That was her request. Please consider. To satisfy. Please consider a house that would be suitable for that pleasure so that we can produce. Of course, Kardava Muni, he also being a mystic yogi, he expanded into 9 forms and impregnated her 9 times, all simultaneously. And this, of course, he was to create progeny. He was one of the progenitors. And that's also explained in the Bhagavatam. But that's not the point. The point is, in the next verse, Devahuti said, "Oh master, you have accomplished by what you promised to me, but you should also give fearlessness to me, who am surrendered to you." Oh no, I went to the wrong place. Somehow the page turned. I lost the page. Oh, here it is. No. Next verse is, O Vidura, fulfilling the desire of his wife, Karma situated himself in yoga and created at that moment an airplane which moved freely in the air. Commentary, whatever Devahuti had indicated silently by her eyes, Kardama supplied while he also remained silent. He did not give an answer. The place was not imperfect in pleasure like the creations of devatas or humans. Then the next text. That heavenly vehicle, fulfilling all desires, increasing in wealth at all times, was covered with jewels and ornamented with jeweled pillars. Commentary. It did not decay with time like ordinary airplanes. Rather, it increased in its qualities. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In other words, the point that he makes that what Kardava Muni created was not something which was just like a fleeting magic trick by a magician that really has no practical purpose. And not only that, could not be enjoyed. But he created this aerial mansion that lasted for thousands of years. But still, it was the result of being a mystic yoga and the pleasure that would be derived from that aerial mansion would not be eternal. It would be temporary. Same thing with Sabari Muni. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam about Sabari Muni, which covers the same point because Sabari is mentioned here in today's purport. He said, even finite souls like Kardama and Sabari were able to create wonders that were substantial and real, like Kardama's flying palace, which could travel anywhere he desired. Sabari Muni states in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was also a great yogi. yogic perfections. Because Salbari Muni, we talked about this once before. It was in the last chapter about Salbari Muni. What happened is that he was engaged in meditation underwater. He saw two fish copulating. He became agitated by it, and he decided he wanted to get married, and he wanted to marry one of the daughters of King Mandata. He had 50 daughters. And then he was thinking, how will I get a daughter from King Mandata? Look at my body. And then he decided that he would change his body into a very, very handsome form. And then when he asked King Mandata, before he had changed his body, actually, he asked him, could I marry one of your queens? King Mandata said, sure, they're all capable of making their own decisions. Why don't you go ask one of them and see if anyone's interested? Basically, that's what his answer was. And then Salbari Muni said, well, he decided to change his body into a very attractive body. And then when he went before the queen, before the daughters, the princesses of King Mandata, they all said, I want to marry him. I want to marry him. I want to marry him. They all wanted to marry him because he was so attractive. And they began arguing amongst themselves because they all wanted to marry him. So then, of course, he decided to marry them all. So he needed to have a suitable place. And because he was a mystic yogi, what did he do? This verse described. Because Salbari Muni was expert in chanting mantras perfectly, his severe austerities resulted in an opulent home with garments, ornaments, properly dressed and decorated maidservants and manservants, and varieties of parks with clear water lakes and gardens. In the gardens, fragrant varieties of flowers, birds chirped, bees hummed, surrounded by professional singers, Salbari Muni's home. Oh, I forgot, I have a translator here. Am I moving too fast for my translator? I'll try to read a little bit slower. Sorry about that. Yes, shaking his head. I'll move a little slower. Did you catch it? Shake your head, yes or no. Should I go back to the beginning of the verse? No, you're okay. Okay. Sorry. Salbari Muni's home was amply provided with valuable beds, seats, ornaments, and arrangements for bathing. And there were varieties of sandalwood creams, flower gardens, and palatable dishes. Thus surrounded by opulent paraphernalia, the Muni engaged in family affairs with his numerous wives. Purport. Salbari Rishi was a great yogi. Yogic perfection makes available 8 material opulences: anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, prakamya, ishitva, Vasitva, and Kamavasayata. Salbari Muni exhibited super excellence in material enjoyment by dint of his yogic perfection. The word Bhavricha means expert in chanting mantras. As material opulence can be achieved by ordinary material means, can also be achieved by subtle means through mantras. By chanting mantras, Salbari Muni arranged for material opulence, but this was not perfection in life. As will be seen, Salbari Muni became very dissatisfied with material opulence. Why? Because the pleasures are temporary. Even though one can get all these mystic potencies, it can all but The happiness derived from these will be temporary, whereas the happiness derived by devotional service will always be eternal. As will be seen, Salabhadra Muni became very dissatisfied with material opulence and thus left everything and re-entered the forest in the Vanaprastha order and achieved final success. Those who are not atma-tattva-vit, who do not know the spiritual value of life, can be satisfied with external material opulences. But those who are atma-tattva-vit are not inspired by material opulence. This is the instruction we can derive from the life and activities of Salabhadra Muni. So, I'm just going to read the translation of the next verse, but we'll read the commentary and discuss it next class, because I want to bring out a very important point which will easily be understood from this next verse. Nishesha satkama palaka datur yogishvairai archipadam bhujasya krishnasya shakya janitam tayayan nityam cha satyam cha param hitatvat. Lord Krishna alone is the bestower of the fruits of all auspicious work. His lotus feet are worshipped by the masters of yoga. Whatever his personal energy creates is eternal and real and beyond illusion, just as he is. So whatever Krishna bestows, anyone who worships Krishna, whatever Krishna bestows, whatever happiness one gets from whatever Krishna bestows, whatever opulence one gets from what Krishna bestows, because it's his personal energy. It's real. It's beyond illusion. And it's just as he is. Whereas, whatever that energy, which is the last verse we just read, whatever that energy creates appears substantial and real, just like things that ascetics like Kardama create from their austerities, mystic yoga, and other attainments. They appear real. They appear real if they last for thousands of years. They appear like real substance for enjoyment. Thousands of years of enjoyment. But the boons, opulences, benedictions, and pleasure, all given by Krishna, are always far superior and will always be eternal. Therefore, an intelligent person, akama savakama vamokshakara udara di tivena bhakti yogi na yajita purusha param, one who's actually intelligent, whether he's filled with desires, he has no desires, or if he's desiring liberation, if he's actually intelligent, by all means, he'll worship Krishna. Krishna, and Prabhupada also quotes this in reference to this someplace else in the Bhagavatam. He quotes that verse in the Bhagavatam because Krishna knows how to fulfill the desires in such a way that the devotee won't come back and ask for it again. Greatest benediction. Intelligent person will worship Krishna. He can fulfill all desires, all opulences, all mystic potencies. Whatever one wants can be achieved. But a devotee is so happy by devotional service, having once achieved it, like Dhruva Maharaj, having once achieved it, it's like a piece of broken glass compared to a valuable jewel. insignificant. So that's a little explanation of these verses about the apara prakriti or prakriti, which is the energy of the Lord, the energy behind all the various constant changes of the material world, which is ultimately, as we know, coming from Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya. Next class will be begin with verse 184. We can stop here for today, and we can chant some japa. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari 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 Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari 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 Hari, Krishna Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari 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 Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari 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 Krishna, Hari 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hari 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 Hari. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. So we will end here, dear devotees. Thank you very much. Next class will be on Wednesday, 10 o'clock a.m. India time in Russian. And next class on the English of Bihad Bhagavatamrita will be on Saturday at 4:45 p.m. India time. And if anybody noticed somebody who joined an hour later today, and if you know who they are, you can write to them and tell them of the change of schedule. So we can end here. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna.